Praise the Lord. Let's pray over the word right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. And we, Lord, thank you for every person gathered here. Lord, I do, Lord, it rejoices, brings rejoicing to my heart, brings joy to my heart to see every man and every father here and families gathered here and every person that's here, Father, whatever our situation, our status, Lord, thank you. Thank you that we're all welcome in your presence when we come to you through faith in Jesus. And Father, we just draw near to you today. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit speaking to every heart today. Father, I thank you for your word. It's truth. It's life. It's light. And I pray, Father, that your word will shine brightly in our hearts today, that every heart would be opened and receptive to that word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. The word Father is in the New King James Version Bible a total of 943 times. That's a lot, isn't it? The word Father is found in the New King James Version of the Bible 943 times. Jesus, when Jesus came to the earth, he came to reveal to the people and to us that God is a Father. That he's our Father. In the Gospel of John alone, Jesus refers to God as Father over 100 times. Just in the Gospel of John, Jesus refers to God as Father, calls him Father over 100 times. And one of the greatest plagues in our culture today, we know, is fatherlessness. Homes where the father is missing. You may have suffered through that yourself in some degree or another of brokenness regarding your father or a lack thereof. And as we mentioned also on Mother's Day, we know there's an all-out demonic, satanic assault on the family. And the attack begins at the head. You know, the devil, when he wants to attack something, he starts at the head, doesn't he? And so when he's attacking the family, that's where he's going to start. He's going to start at the head. He's going to start by attacking the father. And, you know, I know it came to prominence about this time of the year, June of 2020. Of course, we had the tragic death of George Floyd and then all of the unrest, social unrest that developed in our cities during that time. And there arose an organization, it had been in existence before then, but it really came to prominence in 2020. The organization was called Black Lives Matter. And they were really ingenious to use that phrase and that term because any reasonable person would say, yes, we believe that Black Lives Matter. And we see that George Floyd's death was tragic and uncalled for and shouldn't have happened. But when you dig a little deeper, though, into that organization, Black Lives Matter, you find some startling things. And that's this, that Black Lives Matter organization stated it was their mission to, quote, dismantle the patriarchal system. The patriarchal system means a family with a father at the head of it. That's a patriarchal system. They said, our mission, our goal, and this was on their website, their stated mission statement. Our goal is to dismantle the patriarchal system, which means the patriarchal system is having father as head of a family. They said, we've come to dismantle that. And they said also to disrupt the nuclear family. And that's troubling. But it's only a reflection. I'm not just blaming Black Lives Matter, but it was a reflection of an ideology and a way of thinking that had been the seeds of that had been planted in our nation long before that, and it was kind of coming to fruition three summers ago, in the summer of 2020. Here's what Marcellus Wiley, some of you might recognize that name. Marcellus Wiley was a former a football player in the National Football League and been on television as a commentator and an analyst after that. You may have heard the name or maybe not. But here's what Marcellus Wiley said about all of that. He said, I don't know how many people really look into the mission statement of Black Lives Matter, but I did. And when you look into it, there's a couple of things that jump out to me. And I'm a black man, Wiley said. Two things. My family structure is so vitally important to me, being a father and a husband. That's my mission in life right now. How do I reconcile that with this mission statement that says we dismantle the patriarchal practice? We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement. Wiley asked before sharing statistics showing the negative impact of single-parent homes versus two-parent households. So when I see that, Wiley says, as a mission statement for Black Lives Matter, it makes me scratch my head. And so, again, we know that organization, they were really not about, you know, valuing and promoting lives, black lives or any other lives. They were really, their underlying mission was to undermine the foundations of our nation. And again, I'm not just blaming them or singling them out. There were many other organizations working in the same way to do that. And so one thing here, he said that they want to disrupt the nuclear family. Well, and then their statement, they said the nuclear family is Western prescribed. No. And it's they want to make it that the nuclear family, a husband, a wife, mother and father and children, that's some European colonialist system. No, that's God's design. That's God's order. And as we talked about this on Mother's Day, we want to reemphasize it as well. But these organizations that are motivated by the devil know that in order to be able to transform the nation and remake it according to their vision, they've got to attack the family. They may be sincere in what they're doing, but they're sincerely wrong and blinded, we know, by the enemy. So the bottom line, I said all that to say this, is we need fathers. Our society needs families with fathers taking their place. Amen? And then on a parallel track today, I want to introduce this and say this. We as believers need to understand the heart of our Heavenly Father. Praise God. J.I. Packer wrote this, made this statement in his classic book, Knowing God. He said, if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. For everything that Christ taught, everything that makes the New Testament new and better than the old, everything that is distinctively Christian is summed up in the knowledge of the fatherhood of God the Father. So we need to understand as believers, we need to understand that God is our Heavenly Father. And again, I realize that might be a difficult concept to reconcile in some people's experience because of a lack of a good example in your earthly father. And yet, I believe that God can redeem that in our lives. Amen? If we will open our hearts to Him and the revelation of His Word and the working of His Holy Spirit. So we need to understand, as believers, we need to understand the Father heart of our Heavenly Father. And we need fathers, earthly fathers, I'm challenging all of us, earthly fathers, to exhibit the heart of our Heavenly Father to our children. Amen. And so I've got a few points here this morning about the heart of the Father, understanding the heart of our Heavenly Father and understanding what should be in our hearts as a father. Number one is this: the heart of the Father shows tenderness and compassion. So we'll finally look at some scripture this morning. I know this is a departure from the ordinary for me to speak for 5 minutes without mentioning a scripture, Jeff. But here we go. We finally got to one. The heart of the Father shows tenderness and compassion. This is the heart of our Heavenly Father. Psalm 103, verse 13 in the New Living. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. That's the heart of our Heavenly Father toward us. He's tender toward us. He's compassionate toward us. And that's the number one trait, fathers, that we should be exhibiting to our children. It's tenderness and it's compassion. Amen. Our kids need to know that we love them unconditionally. Just as we can know that our Heavenly Father loves us with an everlasting love, an unconditional love. Hallelujah. You're a good, good Father, we sang earlier. And I'm loved by You. That's who I am. Hallelujah. Our children need to know from us as fathers that they are loved and that they can be secure in our love for them. Amen. They need to be able to be safe and secure in their Father's love. Amen. And thank God that we, as children of our Heavenly Father, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. And as a result, we can be safe and secure in His love. You're perfect. I love that line in that song. You're perfect in all your ways to us. There's never a time where I should have to hesitate about trusting my Heavenly Father, because I know He's only going to do me good, because I know that He's perfect in all of His ways to us. Now, that runs crosswise from some bad theology that's been propagated throughout the earth that, God, He might do you good and He might not do you good. You know, He might bring this tragedy in your life to teach you something. No, He's perfect in all of His ways. He's a good Father. He's not a child abuser. Amen. God our Father does not abuse His children. Amen. We can trust Him. We can be safe and secure in His love for us. And natural fathers, if we have the love of God in our hearts and we can exhibit that same love to our children, and we can make sure that they are safe and secure in our love for them. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And then he says in verse 14, he says, we got 14? Did I not give you 14? I am so sorry. Okay. Well, let me read verse 14 to you. 14 says, for He knows how, I think I was debating when I was preparing my notes whether I was going to use 14 or not. And I guess I didn't notify myself that I was going to use verse 14. So. 14, let me read it to you. For He knows that our Father, He said, the Lord's like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. Why? For He knows how weak we are. In verse 14, He remembers, there you go, Kim. Let's give Kim a good hand. On the spot there. He knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Thank God. Our Father is tender and compassionate toward us because He realizes we're fallen humanity. Yes, we're redeemed in Christ. Yes, we're new creations in Christ. But He remembers and He recognizes, hey, they've not arrived yet. And so He works with us. Amen. Is anybody glad that God extends mercy to you and forgiveness and grace? Amen. Hallelujah. And as earthly fathers, we would do well to remember our own shortcomings before coming down so hard on our children. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Look at what Jesus said about this, about God's compassion, God's love for us. John 16 and verse 27, He says, for the Father Himself loves you because you've loved Me and have believed that I came forth from God. Now, Jesus is preparing His disciples. This is right before He goes to the cross, and He's preparing them. He's getting them ready to the time where He's going to be gone. And He says, look, I know that I've been around after the cross, after my resurrection. I'm going back to the Father. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. But He said, I want you to know, you have had a relationship with Me. I'm about Jesus. You've had a relationship with Me but you can know the Father and you can have a relationship with Him because the Father Himself loves you. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Father Himself loves you. Now point to yourself and say, the Father Himself loves me. Amen. Amen. He loves you. He's tender and compassionate towards you. Praise God. That's number one characteristic of the heart of the Father. The second characteristic is this. The heart of the Father brings discipline and correction. Two amens, okay. Wait a minute, Pastor. I thought you said He loves us. Yes. Those are not exclusive of each other. He does, in fact, because He does love us, He corrects us. The Bible talks about that. Proverbs 3, verse 12 says, for the Lord corrects those He loves. Now again, you know, get rid of your bad theology that says, well, God uses sickness and disease and calamity to correct. No, He doesn't use those things to correct us. You know, I broke my arm when I was like 11 years old, 10, 11 years old, and I thought God did that to correct me, to punish me. I really did. Why didn't you tell me better, brother? Amen. I guess I didn't share with you what was going on in my messed up brain. I thought God did that to me, to punish me. Anybody ever thought things like that, that something bad happened to you? That's God punishing you? That's God doing that? No. He doesn't correct us with disease and calamity and accidents. He corrects us with His Word and by His Holy Spirit. But He does correct us. And He does so because He loves us. The Lord corrects those He loves just as a father corrects a child in whom He delights. So if we're going to love our children, fathers, with the love, with a genuine love, with the real love, with the heart of our Heavenly Father, then we're going to correct our children. We're showing them a disservice when we do not. We're failing to love them when we do not correct them. Because the Lord loves us, He corrects us. And He says, fathers should do the same. Children that you delight in, you should correct them. Amen? Proverbs 13:24 says this, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who spare what? The rod. That sounds like a whipping to me. And we, you know, I followed the practice and recommend, you know, yes, physical discipline is necessary for children, for young. Now look, David, you know, if William and Christina comes over, you know, that those days, that's, that horse has left the barn. You know that, of course. But when children are young and small, yes, they need some physical discipline. And I always recommend it from the Scripture, don't use your physical hand. They need to know that your hand is there to provide and to comfort them and to care for them and to love them. Use some, you know, use a switch. Use a ruler. Use, as the Scripture says, a rod. All right? I know that's, you know, that's a foreign concept in our society today. But the rod, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. And the same is true with our Heavenly Father, as we see in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, and this is in the NIV, moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? Now, our human fathers, when we were small, they disciplined us and they corrected us physically with a rod, with a ruler, with a switch, whatever. Maybe yours did with the hand, but you know. Again, they said they did it as it seemed best. They did so, and next verse it says they did so as it seemed best to them. But God, it says, look, it says, how much more should we submit to the Father of what? God is the Father of our spirit, and the correction that He brings to us is in our spirit. And so he does that with his word. And he does that with the Holy Spirit. And again, notice it says, how much more should we submit? If you choose to, you can walk away from the correction of God. You can close up the book when you read it and the word of God exposes an area in your life that needs to be corrected. You cannot submit to, you can choose to say, I'm not going to do that. Or when the Holy Spirit prompts you, you can choose to ignore that prompting. But he says, how much more should we submit to it? Why? And live. It's going to produce life. It's going to produce life when we submit to God's correction and God's discipline. Amen. He says that verse 10, they disciplined us, our human fathers. They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. Some translations say they did the best they could. And we just have to chalk it up that way in some cases to your earthly parents. They did the best they could. They did the best they knew how. Amen. And just leave it. If that wasn't proper or right, just leave it there and leave it with God. Amen. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness. Amen. So we need to submit to our Heavenly Father. That's His love. That's His heart of love reaching out to us to correct us. Why? So that we might live. So that it might be go well with us. He does it for our good. Amen. Praise God. And then number three is this. The heart of the Father provides protection. The heart of the Father provides protection. God, our Heavenly Father, is our great protector. Amen. Aren't you glad to know that? And the heart of a true father, the heart of a true earthly father, of course, is to protect his children physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Amen. We need to be on guard and on watch for that, fathers and grandfathers, to protect our children, yes, certainly physically, but also emotionally, and also spiritually, and also with the influences that they're exposed to, especially. And of course, our culture, our world is just getting darker and darker and darker. And so fathers have to be even more diligent to protect their children emotionally and spiritually today. And God, we can rest in the knowledge that God, our Heavenly Father, is our protector, though. Amen? In John 10:27, Jesus said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you one of His sheep? Yeah, praise God. And I give them eternal life. Has He given you eternal life? And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And then he says this in verse 29, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about a song by Keith Moore right now. I'm in my Father's hand. By His grace I will stand. And no enemy can pluck me out of His hand because I'm in my Father's hand. Hallelujah. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand and the Father's care. Our Heavenly Father is a great protector of His people. Amen. Hallelujah. I think about Psalm 91, the great psalm of protection. That's God, our Heavenly Father's promise to protect us. I would encourage you to read over that psalm on a regular basis and pray that psalm over your life. Hallelujah. No evil shall befall me. No plague shall come near my dwelling. No accident shall overtake me. Why? Because I have a Heavenly Father who's my great protector. It's in His heart to protect His people. It's in His heart to protect His children. It's in His heart to protect you. Amen. John 17:15, Jesus is praying to the Father. And He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. How many believe that our Heavenly Father answered that prayer that our brother Jesus prayed over us and for us? Father, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world. Yeah, we're still in this world, and as a result, this is a dangerous world to be living in. As a result, this is an evil world, an evil generation that we're living in. But we've got a Heavenly Father who protects us and keeps us from the evil one. Amen. He's our protector. It's in His heart to protect. And it should be, and it is, in the heart of us as earthly fathers to protect our children physically and emotionally and spiritually, to watch over them. Praise God. And to protect. Thank God there's a great movement rising up of that in our country right now, where fathers and mothers are standing up and recognizing some of the evils and the evil agenda that Satan is bringing against their children. And they're saying, no, you don't, devil. You're not going to have my child. You're not going to have our children. Amen. Thank God. Thank God that mothers and fathers are waking up. Amen. Hallelujah. And then number four, the heart of the Father ensures provision. The heart of the Father ensures provision. We have a Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. He's tender and compassionate toward us. He corrects us with His Word and by His Spirit to keep us going in the right direction. He protects us and He provides for us. He provides for us. The heart of the Father ensures provision. One of the main roles of a father is to provide for the family. Amen. And whenever the government has usurped that role, no matter if it was well intended, it's brought catastrophic consequences in our society. When the role of the father has been usurped as a provider for the family, through LBJ's war on poverty, I'm sure in some cases that was well intended, but it has brought about such devastating consequences and the ravaging of the family. When the father says, well, I guess they don't need me anymore to do this. Yes, fathers, you are needed. You are called by God to be the provider. For now, you know, I'm not saying that you and your wife can't be a team and the wife can't work too. I'm not saying that. But one of the number one roles of the father is to provide for his children and for the family. And we need to reassert that and re-embrace that as the church. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right. Our Heavenly Father is a wonderful and faithful provider. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, Jesus said, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet who feeds them? Your Heavenly Father. Yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Well, sure you are. Sure you are. Amen. You know, I've yet to see a bird, you know, holding up a sign on the, you know, on the telephone wire saying, I'm hungry, I need food. Amen. I've never seen that. No, our Heavenly Father feeds them. And we are of much more value than they, Jesus said. Verse 31, therefore, because of that, because you have a Heavenly Father who provides for you, I'm telling you, Jesus is telling them, and I'm telling you the words of Jesus today, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Do not worry. I gave up worry about 7 years ago now. Greatest thing I ever did. Greatest thing I ever did. I gave up worrying. And I would recommend it to you. Jesus said, therefore, because we have a Father that cares for us, a Father that feeds the birds, but we are of much more value than the birds. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for who? Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these. God, yes, see again, we because we don't have a clear revelation of who He is, we think, oh, well, He's up in heaven. He doesn't know what it's like to be down here with you know, this high inflation and gas prices back up over $3.30 a gallon again. Yes, he does. He knows. Jesus said he knew. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He's not up there in heaven saying, why can't you be more spiritual? Why can't you think about spiritual things? No, he knows that we need all these things. He knows that we're functioning in this earth. It's not like, I used this before, but it's not like It's a Wonderful Life, you know, where Clarence Oddbody, AS2, Angel Second Class, comes down on assignment to save George Bailey in hopes of getting his wings so he can be an Angel First Class instead of an Angel Second Class. And George, of course, is in a turmoil because he's lost $8,000 that Uncle Billy misplaced and put in the newspaper and handed it to Potter accidentally. And so George is losing everything, and he's trying to explain this to Clarence, and he says, but I guess you don't know anything about money. And Clarence kind of laughs and says, no, we don't use it up there. And George says, well, it comes in pretty handy down here, bub. God knows that money, that resources, that material things come in pretty handy down here. He knows the things that we need. Hallelujah. In fact, Jesus said he knows what you need even before you ask him. Just like me as a wise and wonderful pastor. Fathers, I knew. I knew what you had need of. Even before you asked. Isn't that amazing? I meant to throw that in and when we were given that we're talking about those and I forgot. So it fit right here real good. So hallelujah. But the heart of our Father is to provide. Amen. Verse 33, he said, but seek first the kingdom of God. I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about how I'm going to make it. What I can be concerned about and give my thought life to is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why? Because I know I've got a heavenly Father who provides for me. And all these things, Jesus said, will be added to you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And then in the same setting, Luke records that Jesus added this and said this, do not fear, little flock, for it's your, whose good pleasure? Father. Your Father. My Father. My Father. It's your Father's good pleasure. Jesus didn't just say it's my Father's good pleasure. He said he's your Father too. He's your Father. Oh, it took him a while to get that concept across to his disciples. Even after the resurrection, when he appeared to the women, he said, go and tell my disciples, you know, that I ascend to my Father and to your Father. Hallelujah. He's your Father too. He's your Father. Jesus. Oh, that's why they crucified him, because the religious leaders crucified Jesus because he called God his Father. That's blasphemous. No, it's revelation. It's truth. Amen. Hallelujah. He wanted us to know him as Father. Why? Because that's his nature. That's his heart. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Do not fear, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then finally this, and we can start our music up, Mike. Number five is this, the heart of the Father offers restoration. Praise God. And the story of the prodigal son, you know it, but I'm going to read just a little bit of it here as we close up. Luke 15:11, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Now again, Jesus is telling parables here. And he's told a story about a lost coin and a story about a lost sheep. And now he's telling a story about a lost son to get us to understand the heart of our Heavenly Father. Praise God. And so the son gets his inheritance, asks his father, says, "Father, give me my inheritance." And he goes out and he blows it all. He wastes that inheritance with prodigal living. Verse 14, it says, "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." I mean, he has hit rock bottom. "But when he came to himself," verse 17, when he came to himself, what did he think about? He thought about his father. And he thought about how good things were back at his father's house. And he thought about even the servants back at my father's house. They've got it a lot better than I am. But he thought about father. And he says, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father." Hallelujah. Thank God that in his despair he said that. "I will arise and go to my father." Thank God he had the right image and picture, even though he left in rebellion, that when he came to himself, when he woke up and realized the situation he was in, that he didn't say, "You know, my father's really going to be disappointed in me. I can't go home now. I can't go home until I've, you know, earned all this money and gotten this money back and recovered this money. Then I can go home." You know, that's how a lot of Christians see themselves with God. "I've blown it. I've messed up. Why don't you come back to church?" "Oh, I couldn't come back to church yet. When I get my life in better shape, then I'll start." Anybody heard that excuse before? "When I get things straightened up in my life, then I'll come back to God." You know, thank God he didn't do that. Thank God he knew enough of his father's heart that he said, "You know, I've really blown it here, but I know I can go home. I know I can go back to my father." And he still was lacking a little bit in revelation, because he was just going to try to bargain to get hired on as a hired servant. But that was the humility that he needed to have. He said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants." And there's something that a statement that I've seen before, which is, I think, rings true and fits in here. You know, where a kid, a teenager or whatever, says, "Boy, I have messed up, wrecked the car or whatever. Dad's going to kill me. I've really messed up. Dad's going to kill me." Is that your concept of our Heavenly Father? "I've messed up. God is so mad at me." Or do you have this concept? And hopefully it's a concept that our kids can have with us as earthly fathers. "I'm really in trouble. I've really messed up. I need to go tell Dad. I need to go get Dad to help me." Yes. Praise God. Yes. I pray that we would have that response to our Heavenly Father, because that's His heart. Yes. And I pray that our children, yes, would be able to have that reaction and response to us. "I've really messed up here, but, you know, Dad, it might disappoint him a little bit, but I know that my dad loves me. I know he's going to help me get out of this. I know he's going to stand by me." Amen. Praise God. So he did. He came back in verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off," oh, how powerful that is. He was still a great way off. Hadn't made it all the way home. "His father was standing at the edge of the yard and saw him coming down the long driveway. His father saw him and had compassion and ran." Think about that. Ran toward him. Not yelling at him. Not saying, "What have you done?" Not saying, "I can't believe you've wasted the inheritance." He ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Oh, the heart of our Father. The heart of our Heavenly Father. And the son said to him, he pulls out his speech that he's written. And he says, Father, I have sinned. And his father said, yeah, I know. I've sinned. And he doesn't let him finish the speech. The father says, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Bring the ring. He said, I've sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father said, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. That's the heart of our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And that's the heart that we as earthly fathers can have toward our children when they've fallen, when they've strayed. Hallelujah. To bring restoration. The heart of our Heavenly Father offers restoration. And the heart of a father offers restoration to his children. Praise God. Some of you, some of us here, I can't include myself in that, but maybe some of you have been on the other side of this. Remember, the father had two sons, and one of them stayed home. One of them stayed faithful, working for the father, working in the family business. And he hears this commotion. He hears this celebration going on, and they said, well, what's going on? And they said, well, your brother's come home. He said, you mean the one that went out and wasted everything and left me with all this work and wouldn't help us anymore? Yeah, that one. And they're having a celebration now? Yeah. And the Bible says he was angry and wouldn't go in, wouldn't join in the celebration. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. That's the heart of our Heavenly Father, to plead with his children that have been faithful, that have not strayed, saying, hey, you need to join in the celebration as well. Don't get taken up in a religious spirit. Don't get hardened by a religious spirit. Hallelujah. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgress your commandment at any time. Liar. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as, then wouldn't call him brother. As soon as this son of yours came, who devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. I want you to notice the response that the father had to the older brother. He said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. So don't go grubbing along thinking that you're doing God this great service and begrudge others who get blessed even though they've missed it and come back and get restored. You just never asked. You just never asked. Your father would have blessed you and given you whatever you needed. All that he has is yours. All that he has is ours as his children. Praise God. Amen. But our Heavenly Father wants us to share in His joy when His prodigal children and our brothers and sisters come home. Amen. Verse 32, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. You need to join in the celebration. It pleases our Heavenly Father when those who've been faithful, those who've stayed steady and stayed faithful, join in the celebration when the prodigals come home. Not when we stand aloof and say, well, you know, they should never have messed up like that. They should never have sinned like that. They should know better. I would never do that. Hallelujah. Ernest Hemingway wrote a story called The Capital of the World. I've never read it. I don't know if you have, any of you have. But it's about a father and his teenage son, Paco. It's set in Spain. And Paco was a very common name in Spain during that time. And so Paco desired to be a matador. And he was like the prodigal son. He He didn't want to stay in Father's house anymore. So he ran away and went to Madrid and to become a matador. And he was estranged from his father. And his father went looking for him. And his father was desperate to reconcile with his son. And so he goes to Madrid and he puts an ad in the local newspaper. And, this is before cell phones or anything like that. So he thought, how am I going to, I know he's in Madrid. I'm just going to put an ad in the paper. And the ad said, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the Madrid newspaper office tomorrow at noon. All is forgiven. I love you." And that's the message he put in the paper, hoping that Paco would see it and respond. Well, the next day at noon, 800 Pacos showed up in front of the Madrid newspaper office because they read that message. All is forgiven. I love you. Think about that. The world is full of people in need of forgiveness and reconciliation. Sons and daughters in need of forgiveness and the love of their Father. Amen. Sons and daughters of God in need of the love and forgiveness of their Heavenly Father. Natural sons and daughters in need of the love and forgiveness of their earthly fathers. Amen. You say, "Well, Pastor, my father's not in the picture. He's passed away or he's out of the picture." Well, I want to share one more verse with you. Psalm 68, verse 5. "Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God." This is who He is. This is God whose dwelling is holy. He's Father to the fatherless. He's defender of widows. God will be a father to you. God will be a father to you. He will show you tenderness and compassion. He'll bring discipline and correction into your life for your good. He will be your protector. He will be your provider. He'll restore you when you've fallen and when you've strayed. He's a good father. He's a loving father. He's the perfect Father. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can say those words in prayer. Thank you that we can begin our prayer with Heavenly Father and know that you're listening and know that you love us and know that you care. And know that you hear. And know that you answer. Heavenly Father, I pray for myself and for my brothers and sisters here today. And I thank you that you reveal yourself more and more to each one of us as our Father. And I pray, Father, especially right now, if there are those here in this auditorium, or maybe those that are joining us on YouTube, that have never come to know you that way, they've never put their faith and trust in you through your Son Jesus, I pray that today would be the day that they would come to know the love of their Heavenly Father, that they would come into your kingdom and your family. You so freely offer it. You're not trying to keep anybody out. You're welcoming all that will come to you in faith and repentance. So while we're in an attitude of prayer right now, with heads bowed, with eyes closed, I just want to ask here in this room and those joining us on YouTube as well, am I talking to you? Is that you? Have you never opened your heart and said yes to Jesus? Have you never invited Him in to be the Lord of your life? It's a point of decision that each one of us makes. Some people make it young in life, some people older in life, but it's a decision that all of us must make. What will we do with Jesus? Will we receive Him as God's Son and our Savior? Or will we reject Him saying, no, I can make my own way? Well, none of us can make our own way. We need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. So I want to lead you in a prayer. And in this prayer, you're acknowledging that you need Jesus. You're acknowledging that He is Lord and that He has risen from the dead. And He's able to save you. And in this prayer, as you pray it, God will become your Father. That's the beautiful miracle that will take place. So is there anybody in here still in an attitude of prayer? Anybody in here, you'd say, Pastor, that's me. You're talking to me. I've never made Jesus my Lord and Savior, but I want to. I want to know God as my Heavenly Father. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray for you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody in the auditorium here, I'd just like to acknowledge. All right. I want to pray, go ahead and pray this for those joining us on YouTube, and I want to ask you in the auditorium to pray along with me as well in support of those who are praying. So if you're joining us on YouTube and you need to receive Jesus, right now is your opportunity. Right now is your time. Don't pass it up. Do it right now. Just put your hand over your heart. There's nothing magical about that or special about it. It's just that's where God's going to go to work, in your not your physical heart, but in your inner being, in your spirit. Praise God. So just pray this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are a good Father and You desire to be my Father. So I come to You now in the name of Jesus. I come like the prodigal son did and say, Father, I've sinned. I've made a mess of my life. And I need Your help. I need Your love. I need Your mercy. And I find that love, I find that mercy in the sacrifice of Jesus. When He died on the cross, for He died for my sin, and He was raised from the dead. I believe that. I confess now, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And thank You, God, that You are my Heavenly Father. I receive You now, and I thank You for loving me in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I would love for you to get in touch with us here at City on a Hill Church. You can go to our website, cityonahillchurch.us, and you can contact us that way. We'd love to follow up with you and encourage you in your walk with Jesus. Praise God. Would you stand up? I just want to bless you before we go. Thank You, Jesus. Father, I just bless all the fathers today. It's a hard job, Lord. And we're under attack by our culture. But Lord, I thank You that by Your grace and by Your power and by Your Spirit, we'll stand strong and we'll hold up the standard of fatherhood in the name of Jesus. Thank You for teaching each one of us to be good fathers. Thank You that we have Your Holy Spirit to teach us. We may or may not have had the best example of an earthly father, but we've got You to teach us, Lord. And so I thank You that You help us in the name of Jesus to be good fathers, to be faithful fathers, to exhibit Your heart, the heart of the Heavenly Father, to our children, no matter what age they are. Lord, I thank You that when our children grow up, they sure, it doesn't mean they don't need their father anymore. In some ways, Lord, they need us more. And so, Father, I thank You that we stay in the game. And I thank You that we stay connected as fathers, fathering our children all the days of our lives, showing them Your heart, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank You right now, for I pray for each one of us that we would indeed know Your wonderful heart toward us, that we would just be covered and saturated and your love for us, and filled with the knowledge that we are your sons and daughters, and that we are loved by you, and that no one can snatch us out of your hand. Thank you for that, Father. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, and we thank you for it. Thank you for your sweet presence here, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful presence here in this house right now, touching and healing every heart. Thank you, Lord. You heal the brokenhearted. You bind up their wounds. I pray this would be a day of healing for many. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for it. Amen. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Let me grab the microphone. Oh. Oh, there we go.
I wasn't going to share this, but I need to share. The Holy Spirit kept prompting me. Back probably 20 years ago, well, there's more than that. But anyway, when we first started coming here, I grew up without a dad. As a matter of fact, I grew up with five dads. My mom was married five times, so I never had a father, per se. So I didn't have a relationship like what I know now as the Heavenly Father. But probably 20 or 25 years ago, Pastor called me out one time and up to the front, and he said to me, I am standing in the place of your father, and I want you to forgive me for everything that I've ever done wrong to you. Now, first thing I thought in my mind was, well, I don't know of anything he's done wrong to me, but I didn't realize that there's so much of a father not being there that is done wrong to a child.
Right, right.
So through the years, the Lord has helped me to release and forgive. So I'm asking you today, especially if you're a female, if you have a father who was never there for you, or as a matter of fact, like me, you had five fathers who were never fathers, please, please, please forgive. Forgive that father for not being there. My father was a bad alcoholic, so forgive him. Forgive him for being an alcoholic. Forgive him for not being there even. So please forgive.
Thank
it makes
Jesus.
The most difference in your life.
Yes.
Yes. It's
Bring
a healing process to forgive.
Bring
so please
healing.
Forgive fathers, any of you that have fathers that
Thank
were
you,
not
Jesus.
There for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful, powerful word. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. Let's just don't be too quick to go. Let's just let that just saturate in right now. And just do that. If you need to do that, just do that. Just release that right now. Father, thank you for bringing that healing word. Thank you for bringing that healing word right now. Lord, I know that this may apply to several in here. Just bring that healing to them right now. Bring that freedom. Bring that peace. Bring that, Lord, just remove that. They don't even realize how it's hindered them. Some don't. And I thank you that once that's removed, Lord, what a release and what a joy and what a likeness they'll have. So just remove that right now, Lord. Release that right now. Help them to let that go right now. In Jesus' name, as they in faith, as they obey that exhortation, yes, Lord, I choose to forgive. Thank you, Lord, that you remove that block, that you remove that cloud, that you remove that darkness, that you remove that hurt. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing it, Father, all over this house right now. All over this house, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.